hard-hitting, intelligent discussion, painstakingly researched, thought-provoking opinions, and deep insight when you need it most. You'll get none of that here. Broadcasting from a secret location deep within America's heartland, Unapologetically Mediocre Studios presents the No Better Than Average podcast with your hosts Jacob Cazell, Jeff Chaney, and Todd Singer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 85 of the No Better Than Average podcast. This is Jeff Chaney, and along with me today, I have two friends. Todd Singer joins us again. How's it going, Todd?
Hey, it's going great.
Great. And also, as always, Jacob Cazell. Jacob, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I worked too much outside this weekend, and I have a sore back.
There's no such thing.
Trimming bushes. That's not fun.
No, you need to get somebody to do it for you is the trick.
Well, I really should have, but I'm stupid.
You've got teenagers. Really?
For the love of God. They're both working.
I had to work and then come home and cut the grass and all that stuff when I was a teenager, and I had to walk uphill both ways in the snow in the middle of June somehow to do it.
I wish it were snowing rather than what it has been, because I think part of the reason I'm so down is that, oh my gosh, it's so hot. Anyway, if you want to call and commiserate with the pain that comes when you're a 44-year-old man trying to trim, the trimming the bushes isn't the problem. It's the picking all the stuff up. If someone would just come pick it up, I think I'd be okay. But you can give us a call. Our call-in comment line is 317-643-1212. You can always hook up with us on Twitter and all that good stuff. So get in touch with us. We're glad you're here. We got lots of stuff to talk about, none of which I contributed, but that's okay. No, I did contribute one article that I wanted to make sure I talked about. So,
ooh, cool.
There's some interesting stuff in there. So what do we want to start with, guys?
Well, I had some listener feedback from our last show, the first show that we had Todd on, and I'm not going to name names because he DM'd me on Twitter, and so I didn't explicitly get his permission to read it on the air, but he did say he thought that the show was good. He really liked the guest host. However, all of that Android guff was hard to take. And the nerve of all that Android guff. And I think that Todd has got more Android guff for us tonight. So I had to make sure that I had some iPhone rumors in the notes to kind of offset. So we've got some iOS guff and some Android guff.
I've got more. I'll do a better job this week of warning people so they can put it on 2.0 as I talk. So I'll sound like a chipmunk.
You've got to know your enemy. So, it's not a bad thing to have guff thrown at you. And, you got to know what you're up against if you want to defeat it. That's why the Russians hacked the DNC and took all of the files on Trump, right? You got to know
better,
your enemy.
Apple's better if Android's better and vice versa.
That's right. That's right. I had a quickie. I think we've actually got a handful of them. I added this one, and I thought this was really interesting. So this last week in Indiana, we had some pretty nasty storms roll through, and frankly, I think we're getting ready to have some more storms roll through, so hopefully we don't lose power and internet as we are recording this. But I found this awesome little factoid. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, actually judges storms by an informal metric called the Waffle House Index. It was created in 2011. I don't know if I have the name here. By Craig Fugate, who is an administrator at FEMA, and it is used to determine the impact of a storm and the scale of assistance required for the disaster recovery. He originally was joking. He said, "If you get someplace and a Waffle House is closed, that's really bad. That is where you go to work." So this Waffle House Index has three levels. Green: the restaurant is still serving a full menu, indicating that there is power and limited damage. There is the Waffle House code yellow, which is the restaurant is serving a limited menu, indicating that there may be no power or only powers from generator and food supplies may be low. Or red, the restaurant is closed, indicating severe damage. So yes, the federal government actually uses the openness and menu fullness of Waffle Houses to determine where they should drop in and respond in natural disasters. And I just love that fact, because apparently if a Waffle House is closed, things have gone sideways and it is very bad. So I love that little fact.
Looks like it's raining where Todd is. I just wanted to throw that out there. It is not raining here yet.
I'm curious, when was the last time either of you ate at a Waffle House?
You know, it has been, I bet 5 years for me. 5 or 6 years.
I'm going to go with like 4 years.
It's been a few weeks for me. I stopped at one recently, and they've really streamlined the menu. So I think part of the reason that they can stay in operation is they don't have that many options. They don't have that many SKUs,
right,
if you want to look at it from a manufacturing standpoint. And so they're able to continue to sell things and make things even when there is bad weather, and they can still source things. I think I've even read that they will go in and set up a temporary Waffle House for like FEMA workers when there are bad, bad disasters, and that's where they can send them to eat.
I mean, when you're working a disaster, nothing is better than fried eggs and hash browns and bacon.
Yeah, that's right.
That's burgers, awesome.
Melts. Yeah. It's hard to find a healthy option there, but plenty of tasty stuff.
You know, and I have also found that the more disgusting and just sketchy looking the staff, the better the meal is going to be. I've been in some pretty sketchy Waffle Houses, Waffle Heist. I don't know what's the plural. Waffle Houses. Yeah, you can't Latin that one. In the South especially, and man, if it looks like you're going to get rolled by the cook, it's going to be an amazing plate of fried goodness.
Okay, so I'm gonna tell you a story about. Not the last time I went to the Waffle House, but probably the second time ago that I went to Waffle House. Do you remember our guest, Chris Eliopoulos?
Yeah.
The
Marvel illustrator or Marvel letterer.
Letterer, illustrator. He's done some comic books. He's done stuff with some Brad Meltzer.
Right.
Quite a few books coming out, which
right.
that's very exciting. So I met him at a Disney fan event in Orlando at Disney World, and one of the meets that we had was a everybody go to Waffle House.
Oh, I thought you were talking like a mystery meet at Waffle House. Like one of the meats that we ate. Have you ever had rat, Jimmy?
So you know, everybody pops in the car from Disney World, drives. There's one right out on International Drive, right outside of Disney World, and we go there. And I was sitting at a table. It was me and Chris and a couple other folks, and we ordered, and the food came, and Chris took one look at the gal that gave it to us, and then looked down at the food and just put the plate away and went, no. He just pushed it away. He's like, no.
Not worth it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, you fry anything enough, and it's going to kill all the bad stuff. I'm just saying. And now I'm in the mood for Waffle House. Darn it. I don't know where one is, but they're open 24. They're open all the time, right? They don't even put locks on the doors.
I could walk to one from my house. There's one less than a mile away from my house.
Gotta go get me some hash browns, man. Gotta go get me some hash browns. So that was my quickie.
Three-way or?
Yeah, just all the way. Smother them, cover them, put gravy on them, everything.
Awesome.
Okay, so what are some of the other quickies here? I don't know all of these, but I saw you added one, Todd, and I went and watched the video, and holy cow, I want one of these. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so this was actually sent in by a patron, John, and the world's largest Nerf gun. So some engineers got together and made a giant Nerf gun that could shoot things. What was it? Like over 100 yards.
Oh, yeah. Almost the length of a football field, right?
Yeah. And the other side note I had on that was I used one of that guy's videos for my son's Pinewood Derby car this year. So, and he did better this year than last year, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's pretty much a handicap with me trying to help him.
I'll put a link to the video in the show notes, but it is really amazing. And I watched a couple of the videos of this guy, Mark, is it Rober?
Mark Rober,
and he seems like a really cool guy. He is literally a rocket scientist. He works for NASA, and I think he's worked on the Mars Curiosity or one of the Mars probes. But yeah, this Nerf gun looks exactly like a little one that I have. I mean, it's like modeled after it. And what did they say? They're using the darts are pool noodles with
pool
plungers.
Noodles with plungers, yeah.
And so you can actually
stick to road signs.
Yeah, it's amazing. it's awesome. So you got to go watch this video. It is really cool. Looks like you've got one here, Jeff, that is going to be right up my alley.
That is also video worthy because, you know, there's nothing cooler in the world than liquid nitrogen. And basically,
well, liquid oxygen is cooler, technically. Well,
yeah. Okay. So,
liquid hydrogen, maybe?
Science joke.
Yeah. So this video is basically just them smashing a bunch of different things with liquid nitrogen. And they try to be sciencey about it and talk about why it happens. But honestly, who cares?
Yeah, you're just watching it for the stuff to break.
You're just watching it for the stuff. But the big one that they do is they put a watermelon in a big cooler full of liquid nitrogen and let it sit there for like a half an hour.
Yeah, it would take a while to freeze a watermelon all the way through.
And then they go all Gallagher on it, and it's pretty cool.
That is awesome.
But it's interesting because like they try a golf ball and it does nothing. Like putting a golf ball in liquid nitrogen does not make it brittle.
Really?
So, yeah. They do a baseball, does nothing. Because, I mean, baseball is basically yarn.
And a leather covering and a cork in the middle, right?
And a cork in the middle. But the key is the yarn. And they talk about this. The science of it is because there's a lot of air in it.
Sure.
It's an insulator. And air is an excellent insulator. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it doesn't get brittle enough to break. But you put a rose in that, and it's just going to shatter.
Yeah, banana, any of that fun stuff.
Human corpse, whatever.
It would take a long time to freeze a human corpse to shatter. I think, didn't Mythbusters test that? I think they did a pig and couldn't get it to freeze all the way through to shatter.
If you gave it enough time, you could.
Because
there's a lot of liquid.
You need to go back and check that one. I'm pretty sure I saw that on Mythbusters. I remember in a chemistry class, we got to play with liquid nitrogen, and we made rubbing alcohol ice cubes. And they looked just like an ice cube, but you could set them on fire. It was really cool.
That's cool.
Because it gets cold enough to freeze.
They did the whole thing where they poured it on the guy's back, and that doesn't really hurt you because the nitrogen immediately evaporates and creates a like layer of gas between you and the liquid. And
bonus geek points. Do either of you know what that effect is called?
No. They talk about it in the dang video, but
Jeopardy theme. Ding, ding,
It's been long enough since I've watched it that I don't remember.
The Leidenfrost effect.
That's it.
That is
That's
it. I prove that I am the king of the nerds.
Congratulations. I just liked watching them break stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh, and they use super slow-mo, so you got like 50 times slow-mo on it.
Was it bullet time?
Yeah.
Everything is cooler when you slow it down.
Exactly. And smashing roses is really cool when it's in slow-mo.
Yeah. Yeah.
As are watermelons and I forget the other stuff.
Honestly, blowing your nose would look amazing if you slowed it down to like 1,000 frames a second.
So I still remember back when I was in high school going to the Indiana University physics contest. And they always had a physics guy there with liquid nitrogen doing demos. And my favorite always was the balloon full of air.
Oh, yeah.
He'd put that down in there and it would all go down. There'd be liquid oxygen in it. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool.
Yep. Yeah. Freezing racket balls and shattering racket balls, all that fun stuff. Very cool. Science demonstrations, yo.
I just want liquid nitrogen is what I'm trying to say. I think it's very dangerous, though.
Can be, but I don't think there's anything that says you can't have it. If you've got a credit card, I'm pretty sure you can order yourself up a doer of liquid nitrogen. I don't think it's controlled.
I think that's a must.
Is it on Amazon?
Well, I don't know if you can get it on Amazon, but if you Google liquid nitrogen and click on shopping at the Googles, it's not inexpensive. Here is an ultra freeze liquid nitrogen sprayer for $650. Here's a 3-liter Dewar for $150 from eBay. I think you probably would have to go to a gas supply company to probably get it filled. But I know, you could buy dry ice and all of that. I'm sure you could probably go to a welding company, somebody that supplies gases, welding gases. I bet you could get your hands on it. I think we should make this. I think we should find some and film it and put it on the internet.
Yeah, I'm looking on Amazon, and you can buy containers for it on Amazon that would hold it once you had it.
Yeah, I'm sure you can get it. I know it's not controlled.
A 10-liter Dewar tank is $330.
Yeah, it's not
eligible.
It's not. Here you go, Indiana Oxygen Company. So right in our fair city, you can buy you can get acetylene, oxygen, nitrogen, helium, argon. You get all of the gases. Welding trimix, laser gas. I want freaking laser gas.
Who doesn't want laser gas?
You can get liquid oxygen, liquid nitrogen, liquid argon. Oh my gosh.
Liquid oxygen is really dangerous.
Yeah. Well, so
why is
oxygen.
That not controlled?
They ask for your driver's license.
Well, thank goodness.
That's what I heard.
Okay, you know what? You could make a copy of my driver's license if you're going to sell me laser gas and liquid oxygen. Maybe a welder out there amongst our listeners can tell us what laser gas is for, because I feel like that's something to do with welding.
I've seen that at concerts.
I think that's just a smoke generator.
Oh.
So you've got one on here, Todd. I'm going to guess it's you because it's talking about the Android guff. So what's your story about the Sony Xperia?
Yeah, the new Sony Xperia Android phones are now available. We are recording this on the 26th, so they're available. And they're way too expensive, so don't buy them.
So it's an amazing thing. Don't buy it. Just don't. Yeah, like, why would I want
like
one?
Like a big Sony fan or something. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, why would I want one? Like, what makes the Xperia amazing? Is it just a flagship phone?
Actually, they're really behind the curve. the phones that some other, you know, maybe companies you haven't heard much of, Oppo, Axon? The Axon ZTE is a lot better, and Sony just priced them too much for what you get.
So what you're telling me is I could spend $550 on a phone that's already behind the curve.
That's correct. So, but it would have Sony on it. So I do want to point out, really like Sony.
I think I talked about this last week, but I just want to throw it out there again. Right now, you can get a Moto X Pure Edition for $299.
Yeah, I'm with Jeff on that. That's hard to
just say. That's last year's model, though.
I understand, but it's a really good phone for $300.
And it's pure Android, or close to it.
That's true.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. And the last one I've got, which is quick, which, God bless stupid people. So apparently just recently, 40 people in Texas were injured while firewalking. These folks were at a Tony Robbins seminar. You may remember from late night infomercials, the Unleash the Power Within and whatnot, the motivational speaker. So one of the things he's done forever, and I remember watching late night infomercials and seeing the firewalking thing back then. If you go to one of his, you know, probably wildly too expensive 3-day seminars, you'll learn how to unleash your inner power and walk on fire. So people do it. Now, here's the thing. Walking on fire, when you do it correctly, is completely safe. There is no voodoo. There is no woo-woo. It is science. You are protected because the embers, the ash is a good insulator, and you just walk quickly and confidently, you're going to be fine. So one of the reason at least one person was injured because they were busy taking selfies while they were standing on the fire, and multiple people were reported to be on their phones during the walk. So I think this is a perfect example of Darwinianism at work. And the thing that I find even more scary is that the Robbins Camp official statement included the line, quote, "They just didn't believe in themselves enough to fully unleash the power within." That is their official position on why these people burned themselves while they were firewalking. If they would have just believed in the science that it is safe, as long as you don't stop and take a selfie standing on 1,000-degree coals, you will be fine. And yes,
get that on Facebook as soon as you possibly can. You can't wait.
You know, the crazy thing to me is, you know, not that people go see motivational speakers, that's fine, but that people believe that somehow walking across fire is unleashing or untapping some kind of an inner energy, and that they have gained some skill or ability that the average person doesn't have. And yeah, I'm kind of glad that maybe some people will wake up and realize that this is, you know, they're not listening to this show. Those people are idiots. Like, we can just say that. We don't have to worry about offending those people. If you are attending Tony Robbins seminars, I guarantee you, you're not listening to this show. So I just want to put that out there. I thought that was funny. It made me laugh. So I wanted to share that one. So getting into some of the other stories we've got here, I don't know where you guys want to go or jump around. We've got some iPhone rumors. I saw a story on that will make the most diligent libertarian out there just shake with rage. Got some stuff on Android. So where do you guys want to go? I'll put it out there to the group.
Oh, we should talk about Apple.
We should talk about Apple. All right, so we got some Android guff coming up. So let's couch it with some Apple stuff. I just saw a story that apparently people are saying that the iPhone 7 design is confirmed, with air quotes around the word confirmed, because of a recent double leak. Apparently, a couple weeks ago, two different case makers sent cases with identical sizing and features to some people in the media, and they are now saying that we pretty much know what the iPhone 7 is going to look like. And, you know, the secret is that it is going to look just like the 6. They seem to indicate that the headphone jack is going away because the cutouts on the bottom looked like they were spaced for two speakers. And apparently there are some rumors that that even hasn't been finalized, that Apple may or may not go with a dual speaker arrangement. But I guess there's lots of rumors that Apple wants to improve audio without headphones so that you've got, you know, more of an experience on your phone itself. Apparently they're keeping the lighting port in the middle. That's not a big surprise. The lens on the back is rumored to be a single lens, but potentially bigger and possibly larger pixels, which I think is one of the or larger pixel sensors, which is one of the rumors out there. And they also said that the cases fit almost perfectly around an iPhone 6S, so it appears that Apple is going to be sticking with the same industrial design. And you know, I've read a lot of things online. People seem to be really unhappy that they're not going to get a newly designed design, and that Apple's going to kind of go to this 3-year cycle. So I'm curious if it's going to hurt them. I mean, I know that they're saying overall that the smartphone market is slowing because of saturation, and it's a, you know, it's a tough justification to sell, you know, what's an entry level iPhone these days, like $650, something like that.
Yeah, the smaller ones.
And they go up
are,
from there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is this going to drive people away? I mean, what do you guys think? If it comes out and it looks exactly like the 6S and the 6S Plus, is that a swing and a miss on Apple's? Are they going to have enough other cool new things that people go, eh, I can live with that design for another year?
That's my question, is what is it that they are going to sell to get you to upgrade from the 6 to the 7? I don't know.
I don't see anything on that list that makes me think, gosh, I have to have the new one.
Yeah.
I mean, let's see. I'll get rid of a headphone jack that I use every day. Yeah, that makes sense. No. Dual speaker, you know, isn't really an issue for me because I tend to be wearing headphones because mm-hmm. I'm in a, you know, kind of open office concept area. So I use it with headphones. So that isn't going to sell it for me. You know, camera could, but it sounds like to me that the neat, quote unquote, neat new camera may be, well, if it's on the 7 Plus, see, that might do it for me.
Well, and I've seen rumors that the 7 Plus will have two dual cameras, but not right. The 7 or just the 7.
And I'm a Plus guy, so that might sell it for me. That might be something that would sell it for me, depending on what the features are, what that dual camera gives me. You know, they're going to have to put something in there. I mean, other than I don't know. If I were just an iPhone 6 user and not a 6 Plus, and all you were talking about is dual speakers and, you know, losing the headphone jack, I'm going to go with I'll pass. Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, potentially if they might do something to improve battery life, they're always trying to do that. I haven't really heard too many rumors in that regard. I have heard some rumors that a 256 gig model may be available. I mean, for me, that, you know, 32 gigs is probably enough. I don't think that they should release what they have been doing, which is 16 as the base, and then you jump to 64. But
The rumors have been that they will be going up to 32 for the base,
which should be at a minimum, because, you know, I've got a 64, and heck, even with that, I don't know exactly what I have free. But, you know, there are times that it seems like that's kind of become the new minimum. And I'm just looking real quick here to see if it tells me.
I have 7.8 gigabytes free.
Yeah,
on my 64 gigabytes,
and I have 13 gigs free. So I mean, I'm using more than I thought I was, 50, almost 56 gigabytes. So
I was going to say, I'm looking forward to Apple removing the headphone jack, just because I think that'll push companies to make better Bluetooth headphones. And because, like Jeff mentioned last week, the technology, the sound quality is just kind of so-so on those, and it can drop easily. So if Apple gets rid of the headphone jack, hopefully that'll spur a lot of innovation.
I hope so. And, you know, to your point, both of you last week, where you really poo-pooed not having a audio jack on the phone, I was cutting the grass this weekend and I had my Bluetooth headphones in and they died. And then I was cursing myself because it's, do I stop and go inside and I'm sweaty and covered in grass and rummage around and find a, you know, wired pair, or do I just not have music for the rest of cutting the grass? And so I did not have
which
music.
Did you choose?
I did not have music.
Holy so cow, you were alone with your thoughts?
I was. Ugh, and it was a scary, dark place.
Ouch.
So yeah.
And, I thought I had it bad this week.
You know, on the flip side of that though, there was a patent that was just issued to Apple in March that shows a all-screen iPhone design. Now, I don't think there's any chance that we will see that in the 7 iteration. Probably wouldn't even see it in the 7S iteration. But they do have a patent that they now own on basically a edge-to-edge, top-to-bottom screen where you put all of your sensors. You have transducers. It can do everything through the glass. The camera goes through the glass. The home button is just a force touch, 3D touch, whatever their marketing is calling it this week, through the glass. It can do the fingerprint reader, the whole shoot and match, and it would be a bezel-less design that is all glass. Now, I don't know if I like that either. Like, I get that the bezel is too big. Apple needs to make the bezel smaller, which I have seen a couple of rumors that the iPhone 7 may have smaller bezels, which we can only hope. But if it was all screen across the front, I mean, does that entice you more? I mean, I think they're probably still at least a year to 2 years, if not further away. But, you know, is that a selling feature? I mean, what do companies have to do from a design standpoint to get people to go, I'll throw another $800 at this?
It doesn't entice me just because I always put a case on mine because I'm so much of a klutz. So
yeah,
a case, I guess you could just do a bumper case, but I would get too nervous about that.
I would too. And as much as I would love to go naked, I don't trust myself. I mean, I've got a pretty minimal case, and I've dropped it a few times.
I always have a case on mine.
Yeah, I'm not a billionaire Apple executive who has a drawer full of iPhones. When I fumble one because it's not got a case on it, I just go and crack open another one out of my six pack.
It was only a few weeks ago that I dropped my tablet and just the case, part of the case just exploded on the corner. And I thought, well, that's why I bought
a case.
That's
why you buy a case, right?
Yeah, the case exploded, but the tablet's fine.
Well, and I was just at a recent family gathering and there were a bunch of teenage age people there. And I swear, I think every single one of them had a smartphone with a broken screen. And I mean, yeah, I mean, like that. It's a big slab of glass. I mean, if you're not careful with it, you're going to break it. And making the slab even bigger and more slabby is, I think, a recipe for a lot of people to break them. Yeah, I don't know. Looking at the stories I've got here, I know we've got your Android story, and I've also got a story I want to touch on that I think is going to send one or both of you into frothing rage. So let's do that one first, and then you can calm down and talk about Android. There was a story a couple, maybe 3 weeks ago, I saw that the feds say indefinite prison for a suspect who won't decrypt hard drives. So federal prosecutors are urging a federal appeals court to keep a suspected child pornographer behind bars. He's already been there 7 months until he unlocks two hard drives from the government, or until he unlocks two hard drives that the government contains child pornography. So this suspect, he is a Philadelphia police sergeant who has been relieved of his duties, which sometimes even getting police officers relieved in, you know, heinous events like that is hard. He has refused to unlock these two drives, and he's been in jail under a judge's orders 7 months ago. So he can basically remain locked up until the judge lifts the contempt order. So the government has said he should remain jailed indefinitely until he complies. They are saying that it is not a violation of his Fifth Amendment right against compelled self-incrimination because it's, quote, a foregone conclusion, end quote, that illegal porn is on the drives and he is only being asked to unlock the drives, not to divulge the passcode. Apparently, the federal prosecutors told the 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia that, quote, this is not a fishing expedition on the part of the government. Now, what's interesting is he has not been charged with any child porn-related crimes, but he is in the federal detention center for refusing to decrypt these drives. They are protected with Apple's File Vault software. So this is kind of an interesting thing. A federal magistrate has ordered him imprisoned, quote, until such time that he fully complies with the decryption order. The man's attorney, federal public defender Keith Donahue, is demanding that the appeals court release him immediately because he's being held without charges. So they are using the law that we all became familiar with a few months ago because of this whole Apple FBI thing, the 1789 law known as the All Writs Act. I love when they quote, 200-year-old laws as a means to, control technology today. And basically, it's the same law that Justice Hartmann asserted in its legal battle with Apple that Apple had to decrypt the phone. And I believe Apple actually, that didn't go to court. Apple or the FBI figured out an alternative way to get access to the phone. So that was not challenged. That case was dropped when authorities paid a reported $1 million for a hack into the phone. So I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, yes, it is a heinous, awful thing if they have what they believe is unequivocal. We pretty much have him dead to rights. They haven't charged him yet, but child pornography is a horrible thing. We have to keep that kind of person out of society. But can you hold him indefinitely because he won't unlock his hard drives? I mean, that's a tough one. Like, Todd, you're our resident liberty. I mean, you've served in the party. Like, that is way more involved than I've ever been. What are your thoughts?
My first take on this, and granted, I did not read the actual article, but when the federal prosecutor says this is not a fishing expedition, that tells me this is a fishing expedition.
Right.
Because they haven't charged him yet. And they're also quoting a 1789 law. That's a big red flag. I think the government is reaching here and that they should release the guy and gather evidence in other ways. I mean, if he's really got stuff on his hard drive, he got it from somewhere, most likely.
Right.
So go down those avenues to try to gather evidence rather than just keep him in jail indefinitely. I don't see that as being in line with our justice system. That a guy shouldn't have to self-incriminate. I think it completely is, hey, you have to prove it another way, or you have to charge him, or you have to let him go.
Well, and I have heard that using contempt is not supposed to be it is supposed to be a compelling mechanism to compel someone to do something. But if someone absolutely refuses to do something, at what point does it become punitive and no longer compelling? I mean, indefinitely, that seems completely against everything that the country is built and founded on. You're violating habeas corpus and a whole bunch of stuff there, aren't you?
It seems like there should be some type of limit. Now, if possibly Congress has never actually addressed that in the law, but it seems like there should be some type of time limit on how long you can imprison somebody solely on contempt of court charges. But I'm not a lawyer. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. And I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, the biggest thing to me, it says it's a foregone conclusion that we know that this information, then charge him and prosecute him.
Right. And, the FBI is good about slow building cases. And you'll hear stories where, they finally bring charges and they say, we've been working on this case for 6 years. And, they pretty much have been watching an individual and tracking them and building their case. And, they haven't done anything. And then all of a sudden they drop basically an airtight case is kind of their MO. And once they've got you, they've got you. So I agree. I think, it is horrible if that is what he has done. It is horrible, but there seems like there are other mechanisms to, prove your case. If they say that this is not a fishing expedition and, it's a foregone conclusion, you're right. That means that they have to have substantial evidence to the contrary. And this is just, I guess, the icing on the cake. if you take someone's passport, can you even get to a non-extradition country? I mean, is it even possible? Because what are countries that don't extradite to the United States? I mean, like Argentina or Venezuela? Can you even get there? Like, I feel like there's ways to keep this guy somewhat contained, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. It would be tough, I would think, to get out of the country at this point without a passport. But I suppose if you found some remote shipyard or something, you could stow away. I don't know.
Put yourself in a shipping container? That would, yeah. I think, that'd be pretty awful. And, you know, having to go live in Venezuela, that would be pretty awful, you know, in and of itself. That country's kind of tearing itself apart right now. So, that might be worse than going to jail in the United States. I don't know. But, yeah, I thought that you guys would get a kick out of it, you especially, Todd. I don't know if you've got any other thoughts, Jeff, on it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is just, I mean, it's so bogus. If they have information and this is a foregone conclusion, then charge him and be done with it. No, he should not have to decrypt his hard drive. Absolutely not.
Especially if you're relying on the All Writs Act.
Yeah, absolutely.
Congress needs to address that, by the way. This is something they need to modernize.
Let's get some more recent legislation in there, not rely on something from, you know, 1789. That's boggles my mind that is twice in just recent history that they have gone back, you know, 200 years to this All Writs Act to try and compel modern cutting-edge technology. I don't get that one. All right, well, I think we've covered most of our stories that are not Android-related. Todd, would you like to throw some Android guff at our listeners?
Yeah, I thought I would call this segment Average Android because I like alliteration and average is in the show name. So, tip of the week. And so I've been on Android for almost 2 years now, and I just learned this. On the notification panels, if you take two fingers and drag it to the left, it'll expand it down so you can see the entire notification.
Really?
That was kind of nice. It's handy now that I know about it.
I'm going to have to fire up my old HTC and try that.
What operating system is it on? I don't know if that's for pre-Lollipop.
It is. It might be Lollipop. It might be. I think I put a custom ROM on it.
There you go.
But I haven't turned it on. Well, it's I say custom ROM. It's the Google Play Edition ROM. It's Google's googly ROM. It's pure Android. But I don't remember if it's Lollipop or what was before Lollipop.
Let's see. KitKat.
It's one of the two, and I don't remember which.
Yeah. It might work on KitKat.
I'm a bad geek.
So I want to talk about the Asus Zenfone 3 product line. I know Asus or Asus. I don't know how to pronounce it.
I've always said Asus, but Asus. I don't know that that's
I'll
right.
I'll just keep pronouncing it a different way, and then I'll be right 33% of the time.
Perfect.
So I'm a gamer, PC gamer, and they make really nice motherboards mm-hmm. for custom boxes. I know I've owned several, and I own one now. I think, have made some video cards as well. So they're a really good name in high-end PC gaming. And so for this phone, they've got three different models this time, which is a little bit different as well. And let's see here. So they've got the vanilla phone, which is a $249 phone, which would have fit into the budget phones that I mentioned last week, and one of the reasons I didn't go into the Zenfone too much. The Ultra, which is their quote-unquote flagship competitor, and it's $480 is what they're going to price it at. And again, when you compare that to the Sonys, that's way cheaper than the Sonys. And we'll see the specs. You're going to get a better phone than most of the Sony stuff. And then they have a phablet that starts at $499. So all three of these have Type-C USB connectivity that will also allow two of them have quick charge. And they have dual SIM capability. So these are global phones, and mm-hmm. in some, especially European countries, you might want two different SIMs for two different carriers. But for us U.S. folks, you can put a micro SD card there in one of the two.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and it'll launch on Marshmallow with the Zen UI 3.0, which is their own software. And so going through – oh, I forgot to warn people. Now's the time to put it on 2.0 so that you can go through this Android guff fast. Okay, So the Zenfone 3, the budget one, 1080p, 5.5-inch LCD screen, Snapdragon 625, 4 gigs RAM, and let's see, a 60-megapixel camera with a Sony sensor. It has OIS and EIS, which I hadn't even heard of before. So electronic image stabilization as well as the optical image stabilization.
Okay.
And a 3,000 milliamp battery. So I did want to mention, though, the software is a drawback. A lot of their icons look kind of cartoony, and it's got tons of features, maybe even too many. You can customize a lot of it, but it's definitely not a light touch on stock Android. So that's kind of a red flag for me. On this phone, the fingerprint sensor is on the back, which is going to be positive for some people, negative for some people. And they did kind of lose the plasticky feel from the Zenfone 2, at least.
Yeah, it's not really a bad-looking phone at all. I mean, it almost kind of looks like a Samsung and an iPhone had a baby.
We talked about convergence, right? So
yeah.
maybe that's what they made it out to be. Okay, moving up to the one that I'm most excited about, the Zenfone 3 Deluxe. Again, it's a 1080p, but it's an AMOLED screen, so that should do better in bright sun. 5.7-inch, a little bit bigger. Snapdragon 820. So this is the same processor as in the Galaxy S7. So this is the top-of-the-line Qualcomm processor right now.
Wow, and under $500.
Under $480.
Okay.
Unlocked. 6 gigs of RAM. That's a lot. You can argue that you don't need that much. But again, with Asus's background in gaming, they're probably looking to market to gamers. 23-megapixel camera. I saw some sample shots. They look fine, but haven't seen anybody that's really put this phone through the paces yet. So it remains to be seen whether the software is as good as, you know, the Samsung or the HTC, the LG. They all had excellent cameras developed this year. Again, a 3,000 milliamp battery, and this one does have the quick charge 3.0. And it also has an always-on panel, which is a new thing, which is supposed to help with battery life so that you don't have to wake up your entire display to get your notifications.
Okay, cool.
And you guys mentioned this for Apple, but this one will come up to 256 gigabytes of storage on the phone, plus a micro SD card. So you can get up to a quarter terabyte. I'm assuming that that's not at that $480 entry-level price. I did not see what the base storage was on these, so I'm going to assume it's 32, and then you can buy more.
Mm-hmm.
This also has some additional gaming performance built in, Twitch and YouTube streaming. So clearly they are marketing to a gaming audience as well.
And it's built into the OS, huh?
Yeah, it's either that or it's in one of the many, many features that they've added into the Zen UI.
Hmm. Okay.
But anyway, it's supposed to make it easier to probably, you know, one or two clicks and then you're streaming.
Yeah,
I haven't
sure.
figured that out yet. I figure nobody wants to watch me play games because I'm too old.
Yeah, I don't get it. I've watched some friends who have done Twitch streaming, and I realize I am solidly not in that demographic, because what is worse than playing a game is watching someone play a game. And I know that it's a huge, huge thing and people do it and those guys make big money. But yeah, I don't understand it at all.
My 9-year-old watches that stuff all the time. So
PewDiePie is a multimillionaire.
Yeah,
from Twitch streaming. I don't get it.
Yeah, there's a very small subset of those, but they are professionals. Basically, they make their living doing that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and the last one, the Zenfone 3 Ultra. It's a true phablet, a ginormous 1080p 6.8-inch LCD screen. It's huge. It's the phone Donald Trump would use if his hands were big enough. Let's see. It's got a Qualcomm Snapdragon 652 processor, so this is not as powerful as the Deluxe with the 820. 4 gigs of RAM, the same camera, 23-megapixel f2.0, huge battery, 4,600 milliamp, quick charge 3.0, and it can also act as a power bank capability with 1.5-ampere reverse charge.
Holy cow.
You
so
can
you
use
can
your
charge
phone to charge other
things.
Stuff, to charge your headphones that you let run out while you're mowing the lawn. And it also has some premium sound things added in. It starts at $499. Now, they moved the fingerprint sensor to the front on this. It says the speakers are good, but the bottom placement, you can easily block them with your palm. And this is more probably designed for the Asian market, where this might be your only device. and which is why they want to offer something that's really big with a really big battery.
Well, I'm surprised that they would scale the processor back then. You would think, I guess it is still a 1080p, so you're not pushing more pixels around, but you know, if this is someone's, you know, primary or only device, wouldn't you want this to have a top-tier CPU in it?
Yeah, clearly the 4600 milliamp battery hints that battery life is a big concern.
Sure.
So maybe it's, you know, I don't know if there are places where it's even hard to get power or what, but probably not going to sell a lot of these in the U.S., but for the Asian market, I guess these types of phones, huge batteries and screens, are more in demand.
Hmm. Now, you know, something I noticed is that when the phablet started becoming available here in the States, maybe 3 years ago, I saw a bunch, and now I don't see very many at all. And I'm curious if in your circles, and I know, Jeff, you work with mostly younger people, are phablets still a thing, or have they kind of died out? And people went, yeah, I want a phone I can actually put in my pocket. I don't want 7 inches, a big, huge slab, you know, weighing me down. Yes, I caught what I just said. Who doesn't want 7 inches weighing them down? Ladies, you know my Twitter handle.
Anyhow, I would say that the majority of people that I know do. I mean, I see mostly men carry like note level devices.
But is the note considered a phablet?
See, I don't know. I think it's
just under.
I think it's just I don't see any phablets then.
See, I think when they came out, it was. We've lost track of the fact that when the quote unquote phablets, the notes came out, they were way bigger than an iPhone 4S, for example.
Well, that's true.
But now the base level phones are up to 5.5 inches or 5 inches, and so going to a 5.7, it doesn't really seem like a phablet. It's just a little bit larger.
Well, yeah, and I had we've been letting my old iPhone 5 we've been letting our daughter use it, and you know, picking that up, even compared to the 6, it's amazing how much smaller it is, and I think our official phone at work is a 4S, which I saw somebody using one of those the other day. And yeah, when you look at that and you go, how in the heck did I use that thing? That thing is so tiny. So yeah, I don't see anybody with phablets.
My son still has my old 4S, you know, not as a phone, but as an iPod now.
Right.
And I remember, I look at it, just like you said, it's so small. But I remember how big, that was so big compared to the phone that I had previous to that. So yeah, screen sizes have just increased significantly in the last few years.
Yeah, I'm happy with the 4.7.
So speaking of that, my daughter, when she was packing for her trip, brought down the original iPhone and we plugged it in and it still works.
Oh, wow. I liked the size. I liked the thickness. I mean, it make that, the you know, the size of a 6S or a 6S Plus, it'll go like 3 days without needing a battery charge. I'm a happy camper. I want battery life that I can just go and go and go. I don't want it to be thin as a wafer.
A wafer thin
phone. Yeah, I don't know. Well, very cool. I was looking at the Zenfone Deluxe pictures online, and actually for $250, the Zenfone 3 looks like a darn nice phone. I mean, it's not bad looking at all, and you know, I'd love to see some like real world camera stuff, because like, okay, so 23 megapixels sounds amazing, unless it looks like, you know, just grainy horribleness in low light. Because you know, I've been looking a lot more at the pictures I take, and they're definitely in suboptimal light. I know you go outside at noon and everything is awesome. Like all the phones look great at, you know, bright sunlight, but I'd love to see how that stacks up. And I did a quick search while you were talking about it, and I couldn't find anything that came up quick, but that's a lot of phone for $250 and really not bad at all for unlocked. You know, you own it, $480 for the Deluxe. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's an interesting product introduction. It's really the first time that ASUS has made a flagship competitor. They've stuck to budget phones until now. And of course, like I mentioned last week, this is the first time where they've gone with Snapdragon as opposed to Intel.
Yeah, well, and the fact that they're putting in both optical and electronic image stabilization, I mean, that's good. And it looks like it has multiple flashes on the back. And this article talks about the fact that it uses a laser autofocus and phase detection. And, I mean, those are definitely things that you see in a phone or in a camera system that, you know, people are going to try and hopefully make it, you know, a serious contender. I'm curious about the software. Like, can you tone it down, or do you have to live in their heavily customized world?
Yeah, I don't know. You may have to root it to really get it off, because it's for them, it's a selling point, right? Just like TouchWiz is for Samsung. That, oh, you want to use Zen UI.
Right.
But I'm not sure that a lot of Android fans are really going to like it, because we tend to like what Google does. Their stock software system is pretty good. One more thing on the phablets, by the way. The big rumor this week is that the Samsung Note this year, they're going to skip 6. So it's going to be a Samsung Note 7. They're going to go from 5 to 7.
Oh, it's two. Ooh. Better.
Yeah, exactly. So,
they're bringing everything into line with the Galaxy S7 to compete potentially against the iPhone, maybe?
Yeah,
little,
the Apple
marketing.
Since Apple's on the 7th version now, Note will be the Note 7, 7th version. So that's a Samsung rumor this week.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, gotta make it so that you know, you're the same as ever. You don't want to be at 6 when everybody else is 7.
Too confusing.
That's right. And you know, we're probably talking to such a small percentage of people, because the vast majority have no clue what any of this means. They just go buy it, and then they never do anything other than like install Facebook. That's the sad reality.
Don't install Facebook.
But I'll everybody talk, does.
About that next week. Well, I got significant battery increase when I took Facebook off my Android phone. The battery life increased a lot. And the other thing I want to point out is it's because Facebook's mobile page is so good. You can do just about everything that you want to on the mobile Chrome edition. You can tell Chrome just send you notifications, so you can get notifications, which I do. You can't do like the multiple like, you know, you can only get like or not, but it's a really good interface, so it makes it easy to go without the app itself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I have a love-hate relationship with the Facebook app, but everybody has it. It's a stupid thing that you can't not have. I think if you just, like you said, not only do you get better battery life, but you have a better life if you just uninstall Facebook. Don't use Facebook. And as soon as I can get my family to do that, then I will have a better life too. But I can't. I can't make them do it.
Oh, and just to follow up on one of the things that we talked about, I want to throw one last thing in here.
Yeah.
I feel like we're getting close to wrapping it up. On the Facebook, earlier tonight, we were in the living room discussing two of my kids, the ones that are in high school, are going to be performing at Walt Disney World on spring break.
Oh, cool.
And so Ann and I were talking about, okay, you know, we need to start thinking about and kind of getting around. And we were talking about, you know, okay, how much is it going to cost us to go down there? And I think my parents want to go too. And we were talking, well, do we want to share a hotel room? You know, blah, blah, blah. And we were talking about, oh, we could stay at this hotel. We could stay at this hotel. We could stay at this hotel. And just now, when you guys mentioned Facebook, I decided I'd pull Facebook up on my phone just for grins and giggles. And the advertisement says, do you want to stay at Disney's Coronado Springs? Do you want to stay at Disney's Wilderness Lodge? So,
and those were the places you were talking about, I'm guessing.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
I have not searched on Facebook for anything related to staying at those specific resorts, and that's what it pulled up.
Well, yeah. I don't remember if it was last episode when you guys were all on, or if it was two episodes ago when it was just a solo. It may have been two episodes ago, and I told my story that I was talking with my wife at the pool and talking about, like, again, never searched online for hair transplants or anything, and I start getting ads in Facebook. So I call shenanigans to the whole, we absolutely do not listen and use that for any other purposes that Facebook has said.
The only thing I can figure, I mean, I did do some searching on Disney's website, but how would Facebook know that?
Cross-site cookies?
Yeah, but it's a whole different device. Like, I was on my iPad doing searching, and I'm in Facebook on my phone.
Companies have gotten exceedingly good at linking people across devices using cookies, and there are whole companies out there whose sole purpose is to track you. It could be, but it's still a little creepy.
Because, you know, I did admittedly search because I was looking for, you know, some prices and how much it was going to cost us. Sure. And that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it could be cross-site cookies, I guess. But that's a little creepy, I think.
It is. I mean, you are the product. When you are not paying for the service, you are the product. You are not benefiting them as much as they are. Or, yeah, I said that. Inadvertently said it right, and I didn't think I did. Yeah, you are the product. They are selling you to anyone who will give them a nickel, which is why we should all stop using it. All 1.2 billion of us, I think, is the last number I saw. Yeah, daily absolutely. Users, 1.2 billion.
Well, if we're done, I can talk about what I love.
Talk about what you love.
We have to wrap up now because I want cookies.
Well, okay. I want cookies, too.
And Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, that's right. More importantly, the season finale.
Maybe I'll eat a cookie while watching Game of Thrones.
Ooh. Multitasking.
I like that.
So what I love right now, I used it this evening, the Maverick ET733 Long Range Dual Probe Thermometer. So it has a little unit that you put out on your grill or smoker. It has two probes that come out of it. One of it is for measuring the temperature of the actual barbecue. The other, you stick in your meat of choice. I was making a whole chicken this evening. I plugged it in. I set my grill where I thought it should be. I put an alarm on that said I want my barbecue to be somewhere between 325 and 350 degrees. It alarmed me when it went out of that range, and I went and turned it down and, you know, tweaked the temperature a little bit. Stuck my probe into the chicken, and when it got to where I wanted it, I went and pulled it off and didn't even have to go outside in the heat. And laid and watched stuff on TV.
Yeah, they're awesome. I've got one, and I love it. I've made brisket, and I've made ribs, and it is amazing. You can have alarms.
It just keeps you from having to go outside all the time. It's kind of nice. I like it. I like the alarm thing because, you know, I know what temperature I want to keep things, and I don't have to deal with, you know, worrying about it, and it works great.
Well, not so much the not going outside, because I actually like going outside, but you don't have to constantly open your smoker and lose heat and lose all that delicious smoke. You can just know exactly what it is without
tinkering
with
it. You like to be outside when it's 90 degrees and humid. You're crazy.
Yeah.
Just want to throw that out there.
The humidity is a little rough, but I do like to be outside. But this coming from a man who doesn't eat outside because nature.
Yeah. Yeah. But why would you want to eat outside?
Ugh. Why do you have a picnic table at your house?
For the kids. So the kids can eat outside.
No, eating outside's the best. Love it. Love eating outside.
Yeah. Nope. No, thank you. I'll pass.
All right. How about you, Todd? What is it you love?
What I love is another Android thing. It's an app called Nova Launcher. And it's basically to replace your stock app launcher. Because why wouldn't you want to replace what comes with your phone? Blah. You don't want to use what the manufacturer installed. That's silly. There's tons of settings to fill it with. You can make your grid smaller or larger if you want smaller or larger icons. The most important thing is you can back up all your settings, and so you can sync across devices. And so when if you get a new phone or if you get a new tablet, you can just re-import your Nova Launcher settings, and boom, it's on the new device. It's about $4, I think, for the pro version. And one of the nicest things I like is it fixes scrolling limitations. So now if I want to go to, for example, WhatsApp, I can just scroll to the left, and there it is. I don't just continue to scroll. So Nova Launcher, great program if you're on Android. Highly recommend it.
Yep. When I was running Android, I ran Nova Launcher. I loved it. It was always one of the very first things I downloaded. Yeah, two thumbs up, Nova Launcher. I paid for it way back in the day.
Yep, me too.
Totally worth the money. Absolutely. Cool. So mine is what I love. I'm not even going to put a link to it because nobody is going to go out and buy this, but I got to talk about it because it's so freaking cool. So I don't remember. I think I told you guys last week, but I don't know if it made it to the air, but I had the lawnmower go kerplunk on me over Father's Day weekend. spit a piece of metal off of the shaft of the blade, and that's a bad thing. And so, you know, my wife and I were talking, you know, we've got to replace the mower. Do we go spend a few $100 on another push mower? Well, maybe we get, you know, a riding mower. Well, if we're going to get a riding mower, why don't we get a zero turn? And so we ended up walking away with a 52-inch Hustler Raptor zero turn mower. I friggin' love this thing. It is amazing. It is. It takes a 4.5-foot wide bite every time you make a pass. It is, if you don't know anything about mowers, and I didn't know anything, I had to educate myself. Hustler makes like commercial mowers. If you start looking around, as I have done now, like everything that you see out there cutting big stuff, they're almost all Hustlers. It's all made in America. I was shocked by this. They built, assembled, everything on it is American made. I love it. It was expensive, yes. Not as bad as I would have thought. I was able to get out the door for under $3,000. They had it on sale over Father's Day weekend, and my father, who is retired military, was able to get me an extra 10% off at one of the big box retailers that gives a military discount. So that helped a little bit take the sting out. I love the fact that it won't even fit into my mini barn. I can't drive it through the doors. I'm actually parking my car in the street right now so I could put my lawnmower in the garage, and I now have committed myself to having to build a larger mini barn next year, which we already had plans to do, but now we have definitely cemented those plans because I have to be able to get this thing in the mini barn. And the best part, not being one for overkill, yet my lot's only like 0.4 acres. So, yes, I have a ginormous lawnmower that will spin in a circle and cuts grass at like 6.5-7 miles an hour, and I couldn't be happier. It is amazing. I love it. So that is what I love, my completely unnecessary, extravagant purchase. But gosh darn it, that is my Father's Day gift to myself.
I fully expect a drone video of you mowing coming soon.
Holy
cow. That's like 3 times the size of my yard.
The mower or my yard?
Your yard.
Yeah, it's not a big yard, and it doesn't need it. I timed myself the other day. I had to cut the grass, and I was able to cut my front yard and backyard in 17 minutes.
That's
so
nice.
Yeah, I actually
you still ran out of battery. Good grief!
I still ran out of battery.
Okay.
So I actually drove my mother-in-law lives in our neighborhood, and so I cut my yard. I drove to her house. I cut her, and that's where I ran out of battery. It was on the drive to her house. So I wasn't going to come back, but I drove to her house, cut her yard, and got home, and I still did it in 45 minutes. And her yard is probably almost a 0.5 acre. So yeah,
all right, well, make sure
nice.
On that that barn next year, make sure you get that past your homeowners architectural committee.
I know. We've already started looking at the required. I hate HOAs. I live in a neighbor. I said I would never do it again, and I did it. I moved in with my wife, and yeah, I inherited the HOA. One of these days, I'm going to win the lottery, and I'm going to build a house in the middle of the nowhere with no HOA. So that's all I have to say about that. All right. I think we have come to the end. It is time to wrap up. We have given you iPhone guff. We've given you Android guff. We've talked about the All Writs Act, all kinds of good stuff. I want to thank our patrons. Thank you so much, guys, for supporting the show. Carl Dennis, Jamie, Jeffrey, Jimmy, John, Kai, Scott, and Todd. You guys are awesome. It is greatly appreciated. We would love if you got in touch with us. We'd love feedback, solicited, unsolicited. If you just want to send us a private message on Twitter, all of it is good. You can always call our comment line. You can rant. You can say more Android, less Android. Get rid of Jeff and Jacob and just let Todd take over. That number, that number, as always, is 317-643-1212. You can talk to a robot the way God intended. You don't have to talk to a person. So all you introverts, feel free to call. You will not have to suddenly make a chit-chat. Follow us on Twitter at NoBetterShow. Visit our website at www.nobettershow.com. Send us an email. We love email, the old-fashioned kind, and it is feedback@nobettershow.com. We read it all. If yours is interesting, we'll read it on the air and make you internet famous. Do the iTunes thing. It really helps us out. Go and leave a review. Give us a couple of stars. More importantly, tell your friends about us. Go, hey, I heard this show. You should listen to it. That is awesome, too. Post it on Facebook so that it can track you and track us. We need one more like on our Facebook page, everybody, to get to 100 likes. So come on, someone, go out there and click like. gosh darn it. I think that is everything, so I hope that you guys have a fabulous week. You have just listened to the Know Better Than Average podcast, so now hopefully you, yes, you will know better than average. We're going to go watch Game of Thrones. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
See ya.